Okay, so we're going to be covering a lot of prophecy today, and I especially want to cover Daniel 11. But I'm going to take you a lot of places. I'm going to take you a lot of places today. It's going to be a long study. Okay, and I hope if you have any questions as we go through or any comments, just stop me, okay? So we're going to talk about Daniel 11 because that's what's about to take place. All right, so I want to start here. We're going to start here. So you notice that these are all the 10 richest men in America are right here in this block. Okay. And you can see these are the companies they control. Do you see that they control these 10 men that are in America, the richest 10 men in America? They control all of the media in America. They control all of it. Look at this. X, CNN, CBS, Paramount, Sundance, Facebook, Messenger, Instagram, Google, the Microsoft products, which I can get into those, Fox News, all of it. There's hardly anything out there that these guys do not control as far as media goes. So they're going to be able to control what comes out that you can actually hear. And it's going to get more and more intense. Now, like I said before, I think Elon Musk is one of the good guys. He's done some good stuff. But we don't know where all of this is going to shake out. Now, we know down here, these are the three men that are involved with the AI. Okay, they're involved with AI more than anybody else. They are not listed as the 10 richest, but they're rich. Okay, so they're being mentioned here too because all of this stuff is linked together. You understand that. And it's just so interesting because this week I was trying to watch a simple little video. It was called 100 Proofs That the Israelites Were White, and they turned it off in the middle of it for me. It just turned off. So I was able to get it. Everything can be put out on Rumble. So if you look on Rumble, that's usually where it's going to wind up being. But it's interesting because these guys are influencers. That's who they are. They influence. And, you can see that some of these top names, and y'all know this already, but I wanted to bring this up. And there's this thing I want to talk about. Revelation 6, verse 7. And when I heard the voice of the fourth angel saying, "Come and see," and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name he said on him was Death and Hell. That's what I think when we were talking about this vigilante movie that Elon has put out there so people could watch. And power was given to the fourth part of the earth. Fourth part of the earth is the Israelite countries. They actually make up a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword. All right, there's the war, hunger, that's the famine and the death. And so these are the things that the Father said he would destroy Israel with. And it is the fourth beast. Do y'all see that? It is the fourth beast. And so I'm just interested in this verse. And I'm not saying that these kings that are really the prime ministers that are in Europe are these shepherds, but this is very interesting verse. The book of Zechariah, do y'all understand that Zechariah, he came in as a prophet into the land of Israel after the 70 years that Judah was in captivity? So Israel went into captivity first, then Judah went into captivity, and after Judah's captivity, there was two prophets that came into the land. One is Zechariah and one is Haggai. So what does that tell you? The book that is written was not written for Israel back then. It was 70 years after Judah went into captivity. This prophecy has to be a future event. Now it says three shepherds also will I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathes them. They're so abhors me. And every time I read that verse, I would think about these European prime ministers because they are sitting there allowing their people to be destroyed. And it may not be them. There's a whole bunch of candidates that this could be, you see. But all of them get destroyed in 1 month. All three of these will die in 1 month. And when the Father writes something, he's going to do it. These are end time prophecies. So it's interesting because, all of these prime ministers are allowing their people to be, I mean, little girls being raped. I mean, that's beyond evil. And that's when I told you that when it talks about the noisome beast that come into your land, that's what this is. This is the immigrants that are coming to this country. It is a plague. It's caused because of our sins. Because of our sins, this is why we are having this immigration issue. And he's right, because they tried to do it in this country too, right? When they let all the immigrants in, when Biden was here. That was all a deliberate act and the whole thing is to destroy Israel because they don't know who Israel is. They're not that smart, but Satan knows. And so his plan is to wipe out and stomp anybody that is a true believer and the people that are called Israel, because he knows those are the ones that God's gonna work with first. All right, so we get to this in Mark 15, verse 33, and as it says, in the sixth hour. So they were counting from 6 o'clock in the morning, and the sixth hour would have been noon. There was darkness that came over the whole earth until the ninth hour. So when the Messiah was on the cross, you had darkness from the sixth hour, which was noon, okay? Which represents the summer, because you have the spring that represents the morning. You have the summer that represents noon. Then you have the 3 o'clock time frame that represents fall. And then you have the winter solstice that represents the winter. That's how, when I'm talking about prophetic symbols, okay? So he's saying that between 6 o'clock, which was noon, and 9 o'clock, and that would have been from noon to three on our time, right? It says it was complete darkness. Now, I'm going to explain to you why. We're going to go through here. He's talking about 3 hours of darkness. So I'm going to explain to you why. So why is the darkness and why noon? Okay, so let's go ahead and get to this. And so the sun, this is Joel 2, verse 31, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood with the great and terrible day of the Lord. Okay, so that's an eclipse that he's talking about here. And going on, and it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. See, the very last thing that the Messiah did before he died was to give us a sign. He gave us a sign as to what was going to happen in our time. Do y'all see that? This is how important this time frame is to him. It's the last thing he showed you before he died. Do y'all understand that? So it says, and I caused the sun to go down in noon and darkness on the earth in a clear day. So he's got the sun going down at noon. And why? So why is that? Because this is why. Amos 8, verse 1. And the Lord God showed unto me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. So he's saying there's a basket of summer fruit. And he says to Amos, the end has come upon my people Israel, and I will not pass by them anymore. So this nation will fall totally in the summer. That's what it's saying. It will fall. And so how interesting is that? That's the month of Av. The month of Av starts for us on July 15th. And if you're on different calendars, it'll be a different time frame, right? But It is the month that the temple was taken down twice. The temple was taken down twice in the month of Av. Okay, the first time it fell, that it was taken down, was in the month of Av. The second time it was taken, and we represent the temple. These Christian nations, we represent the temple to the Father, because we're the only ones that believe in the Messiah, pretty much. So he's telling you right here, the end of the time comes for my people Israel. It's going to come in the summertime. The fall of Israel, this nation, will come in the summertime. And that's what he said. And that's why he said, when you see the fig tree and it's put out its leaves, just beginning to put out leaves, know that summer is near. Know that your destruction is coming. Do y'all see that? And do you understand it? Anybody want to comment? Okay, so we get to this part where the woman fled into the wilderness, and she was there for, it's 1260 days is what it is. Okay, that is 3.5 years. That's 3.5 years. So if I'm just giving you a scenario here, because you know that Jeremiah 6 tells you that we go down in the winter. It tells you we go down, this nation will go down in the winter. I don't have that verse up. But if you count from the winter all the way around to the summertime you see would be about 6 months. And then from that point, you're going to have 3 years, which is the same thing as what we're talking about here. You have 3 years. And that whole time frame is called the abomination of desolations. I'm going to prove it to you. It is the abomination. When this nation falls, it is the abomination of desolations. I'm going to prove it to you. Okay, so let's go to this piece right here. Because the woman flees into the wilderness, and that's the church. Because when things get tough, she's going to flee. She's going to go for 3.5 years. Well, she's going to go before the actual war. She'll go into the wilderness before the actual war. So that's the 6 months. So this is the 3 years that the Messiah was showing us that would be darkness. That is the actual time that the beast power reigns. He reigns from the time that she goes into the wilderness to all to the end, which is 3.5 years, which they call it 42 months for him. He has 42 months. And that includes the wartime. So it's starting from the wartime, which would be the 6 months or so. And on the fallen father's calendar, that's like a year, by the way, because his calendar only covers in the daytime. Yes.
My question is, when you're talking about the church, are you talking about the church that are the true believers, or are you talking about the church of today that people go to a building and meet?
Well, it's going to be the true believers.
Okay,
It's
I
just
just
the
wanted to
people.
verify we were on the same page. Thank
Although
you.
many, many people will go into the mountains. Believe me, they will go into the mountains, but we'll get to that part too. Yeah, we'll get to that part too. Yes. Okay. All right. So, verse 7, and there was a war in heaven. Now, this has to take place soon. The war in the heavens, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. I'm going to tell you who the dragon is today. All right. And the dragon fought his angels. All right. So there's a fight in the heavens. I think that is going to be partly visible for us, because I think that's going to be the sign that's in Revelations 12 that talks about you see this beast in the heavens. I think you may be able to see this, maybe part of this event, at least the sign for it. You're told you'll see the sign for it in Revelations 12. All right. And prevailed not, neither was there any place found for him anymore in heaven. So the great dragon is cast down. He's the old serpent called the devil and Satan. Yes, he is. But there's a human person that's called the dragon too. You're going to see that. and which deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and the angels was cast with him. So that event has to happen first. Why do I say that? Because right here, when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, soon as he saw he's cast to the earth, he persecutes the woman which brought forth the man child. Man child's going to be a person, and it's going to be a movement. Okay, it's going to be a movement of young men. Okay, and so, and we already see it happen. And you go out on X, it's the whole thing is what is 90% of the podcast are young men doing the podcast. I mean, and they're just crazy about what's going on in politics. So you're beginning to see some of this. So the woman who is the church is going to be persecuted by the dragon. So there is Satan is the dragon, that is true, but he is going to be influencing a man who is also the dragon, going to be called the dragon. Okay, and we're going to introduce him in just a little bit here. So who chases her? All right, so here we go. Zechariah 29, verse 2. The Son of Man, set your face against the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, because the Father's about to repeat what happened with the land of the Exodus in Egypt. He's going to repeat that whole scenario again. And so here we go. He's calling him symbolically the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This is the beast kingdom, and prophesied against him and against all of Egypt. That's not real Egypt is he's talking about here. He's talking about somebody that represents Egypt, who is the beast kingdom. All right, I'm going to explain that. So, speaking and saying, thus said the Lord, behold, I'm against the Pharaoh of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of the rivers. All right, the one that lies in the midst of the rivers, that is so interesting because those rivers represent the beast, which is that Revelation 13, Revelation 17 is that beast that's in the water that comes up out of the water. Do y'all remember in Revelations how it talks about the beast that comes out of the water? This is it. This is who it is. This is the beast power. And he represents Egypt. Now, let's go right here. And we're going to tell you who it is. So Revelations 11 verse 8, and their dead bodies, this is talking about the two witnesses, shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also the Lord was crucified. Now, I didn't write this. I did not write this, but it's telling you that the great city where the Messiah was crucified, which is Jerusalem, is Sodom and it's Egypt. I didn't write that. He's telling you Israel in the Middle East. Israel in the Middle East is the dragon. Now, who is in charge of the dragon? Pharaoh. Who is the Pharaoh in right now? Netanyahu. Now, there's going to be an election in October, that there may be a turnover. He may lose that election and they give that to somebody else, but right now that's who it is. And there's no getting around this because I just showed you this verse right here where it says, I'm against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon. There you go. He is the great dragon. So I know that's hard for people to accept, but I'm just telling you that that's what the scripture is saying. All right, now going on, Daniel 11, verse 31, and arms, that's armies, shall stand in his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary. Now, the sanctuary is these Israelite countries. We are the Christian nations. We are the sanctuary. I'm specifically pointing to America here. And they shall stand away, they shall take away the daily, which is our daily way of life. And they shall place an abomination that is made desolate. Okay, what is that abomination? Let's go take a look and see what it says. All right, Jeremiah 51, verse 11. The vengeance of his temple is the vengeance of the Lord. The vengeance of his temple is the vengeance of the Lord, which is talking about in this chapter Babylon, which is, I don't have time to prove it to you, but that is America. So the devices against Babylon to destroy, it is the vengeance of the Lord. He's doing vengeance against us, but he's calling us his temple. And that's so important because that is the sanctuary. So he's telling you that Babylon is the temple, it is the sanctuary. Now, going on, and the wicked against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do work. That ex word spl exploits means to do a job. Now, what do they do? And they that understand among the people, that is us, shall instruct many. And they shall fall by the sword, and they will fall by flames, they'll fall by captivity. This is Israel when they fall into captivity. See, it says that they fall by the sword, they fall by fire, and they fall by the spoil, which is, and they fall by captivity many days. But so
Linda,
who, yes,
I think up there in verse 11 of chapter 51, when it talks about the temple, I think that temple represents the government of the United States, which is Babylon.
Yes, you are so right. You are so right. Thank you for pointing that out. That's who it is. It is absolutely the, it absolutely is. So that's what I'm trying to show you when it talks about a sanctuary. The sanctuary and the temple are the same thing. Do y'all understand that? But it says, we, us, the people that have understanding, will instruct many. See, you have been prepared for this job, but nobody's telling you about your job. But you're going to see it and you're going to do it. And I'm just telling you, that's how it's going to come down. It doesn't matter if I tell it or somebody else tells it. It's going to happen irregardless because it's written. Whatever is written is going to happen. So going on, verse 34, and when they, America, shall fall, they will have a little help, but many shall cleave to their flattery. So even though she falls, many of them are not going to change. Even though you've been telling them right here what all along, who is America, who she's Israel. And that all of these things are about to take place on her, but they're not going to believe you. See, they're going to cleave to their flatteries. So going on. Now look at verse 16. You're going to give a witness to these people. You're going to give a witness to these people. And this is what happens next. Jeremiah 16:16. Behold, I will send for many fishers. That is you. And said the Lord. And they shall fish for them, that's these same people, and after I send them many hunters, and they will hunt them out of every mountain. So when you go and you hide and you are not with the Father, you're gonna these hunters, which are the people that's coming into in the to this land, this actual Eastern horde that comes across from China, from Russia, from India, from all of those countries, those Middle Eastern countries, they all come here and they come to take down our land and they come to spoil it. They will take the people out. They will hunt them out of the wherever they're hid. Y'all see that in every mountain. They'll hunt them down. So either the Father's going to protect you if you're a believer or he's not. And this goes back to the story, same story of Elijah, because Elijah's playing our role right now. We're playing the role of Elijah. Elijah ran from Ahab and Jezebel, and he hid in the caves and in the mountains. That's exactly what we will do. Okay, so it's the same story. We are the work of Elijah. Oh my goodness. So going on here, it says he will send fishers. And that's us. So first, we're going to tell them And then if they don't listen, then he's going to send the people from the foreign lands in here to take them out into captivity. But he promises the ones that go into captivity will live. So that's really interesting. So Luke 21, verse 12, it starts listing in Luke, and it says the kingdom, one kingdom will rise and nations will rise, and then it says there'll be pestilence and famine and earthquakes. Then it says in verse 12, but before all of these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers in my name's face. He said, before I do anything else, before I do anything else, I'm going to persecute the people. Now, there's two reasons why this happens. One is you're going to be given a testimony before the court system about what you believe and what's going on. And he says, don't even think about what you're going to say. See, I'm going to turn it into a testimony. Do y'all see that? You're going to be witnessing to the people in the government. Wouldn't that be interesting if they had it on film? Okay. So, he said, don't even think about what you're going to say because I'm going to give you the words. And he said, you're going to be betrayed. People are going to hate you for doing this. They're going to hate you. But, irregardless, it says, you're going to be hated by all men for my name's sake. But then he promises, if you're the ones that go to court and you do the testimony, that not a hair on your head will be hurt. But there's going to be some that die from this process because, you'd have parents and kinsfolk and friends coming against you. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. It's hard to believe. And this is what, when you see this happen, you know Satan has already fallen because his job is to go after the woman. He persecutes the woman, and this is the woman, and this is the woman's job. So she's going to do this right here. Now, something will cause her to drive to the mountains, but I don't know what that is. Okay, so this, if we are setting at the end time, if we are setting at the end time, then Trump is this person that's playing this role that's in Daniel 8. Okay, I'm going to explain that to you. What this guy just said is that Trump told them, I'm going to go in, take the Strait of Hormuz, and I'm also going to be the guardian angel of the Middle East. He did not elaborate on that. The Fox News commentator did not elaborate on that, but he said it. He said it. I'm going to be the guardian angel for the Middle East. This man has no intention of losing this war. If you understood anything about Trump, you know he's not going to back down. And so I think it's the perfect scenario because this Daniel 8 chapter was the original history of Alexander the Great, how he came in and took over all of Europe and took over the Middle East and clearing up to India. He took that entire area. The only man that ever did he was called the only person who ever ruled the whole world. And so this is where we're coming to. This is what we're talking about here. So the ram, which is talked about in Daniel 8, it tells you who it is. It has two horns. The other horn was probably a rat that's already been taken down, but maybe not. The king of Media and Persia. Media are the Medes. These people were actually one kingdom at that point, and Persia. So it's telling you that the ram is Persia. Do y'all see that? Now, going on, the next part, it tells you who is the rough goat. The rough goat is the king of Greece. So it was the king of Greece, but now we have to have somebody who's playing the role of the king of Greece. And it says he has a notable horn between his eyes, which is the first king. Yes, that's definitely sure. So it's a rough goat. I think it's really interesting. That is so tying to America. And I'm fixing to prove it to you that this goat is America. She's going to play the role of the King of Greece. Now, watch this. Here is the Western Hemisphere. Y'all know that. All right. What country in the Western Hemisphere is the goat? You see right here, it's got to be America. Canada's not, she has no intention. Neither does the Mexico in South America. They have no intention of playing that role, but America's going to play it. And I'm going to show you the verses here. So I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward. That's what Iran has been doing. She's been sending bombs in all directions. All right. And I was considering, and a goat came from the west on the whole face of the earth. So you know that Alexander the Great was in Greece and well, Macedonia also, right? And that was in the eastern part of the world. This person, the goat, comes from the west on the whole face of the earth. Everybody ignores that piece. See, that's the whole key right here. She's coming from the Western Hemisphere. What country is going to play the role of the goat coming from the west on the whole face of the earth? So going on, and I saw him come close to the ram, and he moved with anger against him and smote the ram and brake his two horns, and he stood before him, and he cast him down to the ground and stomped on him, and none was able to deliver him out of his hand. That is a war. That is a war. So if we're living at the end time, this is written, it has to be fulfilled, because we've just been told the ram is Iran. We've just been told that because we know Iran are the Persians. They tell you every week that we are the Persians. And so there's no doubt about who the Persians are. So interesting, because he's just totally destroyed here. Doesn't mean all the people are destroyed, but the infrastructure and everything is destroyed. Interesting. Now is let's go on here. And this is Daniel 11, which is the what we wanted to get to. We wanted to talk about Daniel 11. So it's talking about these same kings again. It says one of them, or it says, I will tell you the truth. Behold, there stands three kings in Persia, and the fourth one is richer than them all. I think this is people associated with Persia. This is probably the Middle Eastern countries, but I could be wrong on that. By his strength, through his riches, he stirred up the realm of Greece. So who's playing Greece? We just talked about that. The place where it's on the western whole part of the earth. That is the goat. He also plays the king of the north. You see? So he is stirring up Greece. I think this is Saudi Arabia because he says it's richer than them all. You see that? I think that's Saudi Arabia. And the king of the south, which is what these men are, these three kings in Persia, and the fourth one, right, is four kings. It says these four kings are called the king of the south. They will be strong. And one of the princes shall be stronger than them all and have dominion, great dominion. That is Iran. That's who that is. That's Iran right here. That's who he's talking about. That's going to be stronger than the others. This war has been going on in Daniel 11 since the time of the bushes. We've gone in there and out and in there and out and in there and out and gone to war with these people. This is what it's talking about. It's the king of the south. It's these Middle Eastern kings. That's not hard to see. Okay? But at the very end is when Iran gets just totally destroyed. And that's what it's talking about. Now, going on at the time of the end. Now, here's the rub right here. Because at the time of the end, the king of the south will push at him, the king of the north, which I tell you right now, that's Trump. Now, if we are not sitting at the end time, then it's somebody else, right? I mean, that's, but shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, ships, and shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So he's going to do what he just told this Fox News person. He's going to go in as the as he put it, the guardian angel. He's going to take over the Middle East. He's going to go in there and take over all the lands, except, he says, he's except for Edom, Moab. Edom is probably the Israel. Moab is going to be Jordan, and Ammon is going to be Jordan. That's what it says. So he enters into the glorious land. So he may stage his weapons in Israel, but he may also have a problem with Israel. Let me go back up there. He may have a problem with Israel, and she goes under his submission and his power also. And many nations shall be overthrown, and many that escape, but these escape out of his hand. This is Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Those are the ones that escape. That's the ones, which is Israel and Jordan. Okay, that's what it's saying. So this is the war that brings the war on us, and that's what we want to see next. Now, this backs up what I just said. Isaiah 21, I love this chapter, verse 13. The burden of Arabia, that's the Middle East, in the forest of Arabia, shall be lodgings, and all you traveling companies of Dinan, that's talking to Ishmael, because he was a tent dweller. Okay, going on, and the inhabitants of the land of Tema, that is Saudi Arabia. Tema is you there's you can look it up. It is a area in Saudi Arabia, brought water to him for thirst. Why would they be bringing water? Because somebody took down their water supply. That's why. And they prevented their bread from them that fled. Okay, so Saudi Arabia is going to help these countries that don't have water. So why don't they have water? Because somebody's probably going to come in there and take their water supply down, which is these factories they have to for salination of the water. They fled with swords and from drawn swords. So there's a war, you see, and bent bows and for grievousness of the war. Then it goes on. And it says, within a year of that war of the hireling, all the land of Kedar, which is another name for Ishmael, fell. Kedar is one of the sons of Ishmael. So he's talking about the Arabs. He's talking about there's going to be a war. They're going to have a missing water and food. It says they flee from the sword. And so interesting, because this story is backing up exactly what is written in Daniel chapter 11 that we just read. Now, going on, we're still in Daniel 11, verse 43. And he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. Do you think Trump's going to go in there and not take something? Oh, yes. He just said he wants to take 20% of the oil. He just said he wants to take 20% of the oil. Okay. So they're going in there for money and precious things from Egypt and these other countries, right? And so he's now, after he's the war's over, and he makes this financial deal where he takes maybe some of the oil fields. Who knows what he's going to take, but it's being related to treasures of gold and silver, right? It's money for tidings out of. So he goes home. And I'm going to explain this to you. He goes home, and tidings out of the east and out of the north trouble him. Out of the east is who? Somebody tell me. Who is in the east? China. Who is in the north? Russia. So tidings out of the east and the north, therefore they shall go forth with great fury. These guys are coming with great fury. The guys out of the north and out of the east. Going on. Verse 45. This one tells the real story right here. Daniel 11, 45. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palaces between, this is a totally different place, between the seas. Between Israel in the Middle East doesn't have two seas on both sides. But America does. She has the Atlantic. She has the Pacific, and she's being called the glorious holy mountain. The glorious holy mountain. Where is this also mentioned? It's mentioned in it's Ezekiel chapter 20, I think. And it talks about the glorious holy mountain and how she comes to her end, but none will help him. So this is what we're going to talk about next. What happens to Trump? What happens to Trump? Okay, so this is talking about how Russia and China come here and we get taken down. That's what this is saying. But what happens to Trump? So this other point we want to cover, what does Israel in the Middle East do when all this stuff is happening? What does she do? What is her role? Let me tell you what she does. Obadiah 1:1, the vision of Obadiah, thus said the Lord, concerning Edom, because most of the people in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, there are some Jews there too, right? That goes back to Jeremiah 9, the last verse that tells you there are some Jews in Israel, but he says, oh, the Edomites are also there. So he says, concerning the Edomites, there will be a rumor from the Lord. An ambassador is sent to the heathen and saying, arise you and let you go up against her to battle. See, Israel is going to send an ambassador to Putin and tell him it's time to go have the war with America. That's what they're going to do. And so, how do you know that? Because it tells you. You're going to be punished for thy violence against thy brother Jacob. Shame shall cover thee, and you will be cut off forever. So, because you're going to do this to your brother, this is what you're going to do to your brother. You're going to join these people in the east against your brother. That's what you're going to do. Since you're going to do that, shame is going to cover you for the rest of your life because you've done this. Now, we'll take time at some point and go through the book of Obadiah so I can prove to you that Edom is going to be Israel, but I can't do it today. All right, so going on. So verse Daniel, going back to Daniel 11, verse 27. Now, here we go. All right, both kings, that's the king of Iran and the king in our country. Hearts shall be turned to mischief, and they shall speak lies at the table. But you can see that happening. They're lying right now, both of them, and it shall be not prosper, and the end shall not be at an appointed time. So forget about the peace deal because it ain't gonna happen. But Trump has to do the peace deal. Y'all understand he's got to do the peace deal because once he goes into the Middle East, he wants to be able to tell these people, I tried to make peace with them, but they wouldn't do it. You see, he has to cover his bases, but he's going to go in there. So here, going on, unless he's not this person that we're looking for, and it's a later time. That's the only way this doesn't work, because God's word is going to be accurate. So going on, verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will. He certainly does. I mean, if anybody does according to their will, that is Trump. And he's exalt himself and multiply himself above every God. He loves to brag about himself. He tells people all the time. He doesn't really have a religious way to him. So some of this applies to the Antichrist. I understand that, but it's also you can kind of see Trump with some of this behavior, right? It's not hard to stretch that one. So now going on Daniel 9:27. Now this is where we get to the abomination of desolations right here. So America is the place that's going to be made desolate by the people in the east that come here, which is China and Russia. She's going to be made desolate. Scripture, I should have put a scripture in there that proved that, but that's what the whole 11 books of prophecy is about, is how she is decimated. So going on, she'll confirm a covenant with many and oh for 1 week. Now that is symbolic. That means in a week of the last 7 years, the last 7 years is an appointed time for the Father. Do y'all understand that? And in the midst of that week, see, in the midst of that week, which is 3.5 years, 3.5 years of the last 7 years, he said he will cause the slaughter or the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading of the abomination. He shall make it desolate. All right, so let's just stop here a second. So the last 7 years, in the middle of that last 7 years, is going to be this war. It's going to be the war in America. There's going to be slaughter, and there's somebody that's going to cause it to cease. There's a man that comes in and he's going to cause it to cease. He's going to stop the war. And he calls it the overspreading of the abomination he shall make desolate. So the abomination made desolate is this country. When Israel, the nations of Israel, all of Europe, all of Britain, Australia, South America, I mean South Africa, all of these countries where these people who are the Christian nations have gone, those people will become desolate. That is what it's saying. And it happens in the middle of the last 7 years. Okay, now, important point here, and it says, even unto the consumption, which is that word is completion, and determined shall be poured out upon it desolate. So we're going to be made desolate. That is the abomination of desolation, because the man of sin can now come in because America has fallen. Well, as long as she's up, these people who are the evil people in this world, many of them we just pointed to earlier, are going to have an opportunity to ch change the world the way they want with Satan as their influence. Do y'all understand that? So going on. And let no man deceive you by any means, for in that day it shall not come except there be a great falling away. And man, well, that's already happened because nobody's going to church anymore, are they? So you already see that happen. And the man of sin be revealed, which is the son of perdition. So the man of sin is the man that's going to rule during the last 3.5 years, which is 42 months. He rules the beast kingdom. He has to take America down because she has freedom of speech, which he can't have. Do y'all see that? He cannot have a country that has freedom of speech because that's the only freedom we had lost so far. Pretty much everything else is nipped in the bud, isn't it? But the freedom of speech is something the 10 kings want to stop, but they're not going to be allowed to stop it because this man, whoever he is going to be influenced by Satan to do the things he wants him to do. And so this is where we're coming to here. And the abomination of desolations spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Whoever reads it, let him understand. So what is the holy place? It's not. This is where everybody goes off track. The train just moves off the track. Everybody goes eyes to Israel. They said they have to build a temple. It does not say that. That word holy place, when you look at it, it just is can be anything. It can be a auditorium. It can be anything. It's a place that's set aside that's special. I think this is when the man of sin, who was in charge of the Middle East and in charge of the Eastern countries, which is going to be this person we call the beast, he's going to go into our capital. And I think he's going to say, I just took down America. Now I am now king of the world. And so I think this is where it's going to take place. It could take place in someplace else. But I think that'd be the most powerful place to do it, is to go into our capital and do it. But he's going to say, Guess what, y'all? America's down, and I'm in charge now. So there's no more freedom of speech for you. And so he's going to be a man of flattery too, if you remember the story on him. All right, so going on, Daniel 4, verse 22. And oh, this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar. O king, thou art grown and become a greatness is grown and reached to the heavens, the dominion of the earth. I think this is talking to Trump as well as Nebuchadnezzar. I think he's playing the role of Nebuchadnezzar. Now look at this, 4 verse 23. And the king saw the watcher and the holy one come down from heaven and say, hew down the tree. We are Babylon. We are the tree that gets taken down. Hew down the tree and destroy it and leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth. We're going to talk about the stump. Then it said, the rest, it says, seven times will pass over him. So Nebuchadnezzar, he told everybody, look who I am, look what I've done, look at all the stuff I've accomplished. Does that sound familiar to anybody that you have seen in the news lately? I think you have. Okay. So it's the same, it's playing the same role. So what's going to happen here is 7 years will pass over him. So Babylon fell, ancient Babylon fell in 539 AD, I mean BC, 539 BC. If you multiply seven times 365.14, you come up to 2017, which is the same year that Trump became president. Now, I'm not, and you know that this is also the same year that you had the Virgin in the heavens, which is September 23rd, 2017. You had Virgo in the heavens, and she had 12 stars above her head, and she had the sun at her shoulder and the moon at her feet. And that was the event that talked about telling you, look, pay attention, because I'm about to bring the Messiah home. He's about to come down here. Because that was in ancient times, that was Mary. Mary was the one. But in this time, Mary, this woman that's playing the role, is the church. She's playing the role of Mary and the church. Do y'all see that? She gives birth to the man child, which is the revival that's coming from this war. This war is going to bring this huge revival that is talked about in scripture that says, so many people you won't even be able to number them. They come from all countries and nationalities, and they repent and they put white robes on and they turn themselves around. And that's what she's going to be mothering of. And that's why it wound up on 2017. And that's why 27 was so important, because Babylon came to power in 2017. She came to her power. Do y'all understand that? And she came to her power here because we are ancient Babylon now.
What's interesting is when Donald Trump told the Christians to get out and vote, and he said, you won't have to do it ever again. Well, when that 3.5 years hits and the war and so on and so forth, there may very well not be any more elections.
Yeah, so he probably was speaking prophecy and didn't know it.
That's right.
Sometimes the Father lets those things slip out. Because he's so arrogant, he probably thinks he'll be the last person to ever be president. And he will be, probably. I mean, I can't say that. We don't know. We don't have a magic ball. We have the Bible, though, and it's all of, do y'all see how this stuff is lining up? I mean, it's lining up like gangbusters here. So going on, so 7 years Passover, we just explained that. And that comes up right to September when this Virgo event happened, because that's what he wants. See, he wants the people to repent. That's what he wants. Okay, so going on. So who is the stump? So let's read here Isaiah 6 verse 13. And a tenth remain in it. There's out of all of America, a tenth of the people will remain in the land. That is about 40 million people. And he says it talks about it being burned and whose stump remains when it fell, which is the holy seed is the stump. There you go. We are the stump because the tree comes back from the root, and we're going to be the new root. This whole thing is going to be taken down. He's going to destroy it all, and he's going to rebuild it with us as the stump. I mean, people don't know this, so they can't teach it, but that's exactly what's going on. So, going on, Ezekiel 17, watch this. Thus said the Lord, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar, and I'll cut it, set it out, and I'll break off the top of the young sprig, a tender one, and I myself will plant it in a high and lofty mountain. Y'all know that a mountain represents a government. So, what high and lofty mountain is he planting the tree? Two guesses and one don't count. And one, the mountain's height of Israel, that is America. We are at the height of Israel. Our government is the top government of all the Israelite countries. That is Europe, that is England, that's Scandinavian countries, that's Australia, that's I can go through and name them all. But out of all those countries, which are Christian countries, you see, they are at the height. See, even if you don't believe that we are Israel, when you go back to Galatians 3, it says, if you are a believer in the Messiah, you are Abraham's seed. So forget about the heritage part. If you don't can't deal with that, then you go to Galatians 3 because he's telling you there that the Christian nations will be Israel because they believe in the Messiah. That's what it's saying. So no matter how you slice this pie, it's going to point back here to America. It's going to point back to America. People say, well, it's a, you know, I just believe the Jews are it, Jews are the only Israel. Well, there's more Jews here than any other place in the world. So just cut the pie and believe it, because this, no matter how you slice this pie, it's coming back and it's pointing to here and it's not pointing to the Middle East. So going on. So it says, the mountains at the height of Israel will I plant and bring the branches and brood produce fruit, which he did here. They produce fruit. And now watch what happens here. For the trees of the field shall come. This is the same tree that's in Daniel 4, the tree that gets chopped down. It's the same tree. Okay? For I bring the low high tree and the high tree and make the high tree the low tree. So he's going to take down our government. And the dry tree, which is who we are, the Christians, we've dried up. We don't have any. Look how little and small and unimportant all these little the Christian peoples and churches are. They're just little dribbles. They become the green tree. So I will make the dry tree to first. So what he's saying is, when this nation is fallen, we are rising. We become like the sun. That's what it calls us. We become like the sun. So he said, I've spoken it and I will do it. So it's hard to believe this, that when our government falls, we're going to be the ones in charge. I mean, that's how it is. Now, does anything back this up? Yes, it does. Isaiah 21, verse 7. And I saw chariots and a couple of horsemen and a couple of, and y'all know that Joey has taught this. A couple of horsemen, that's people running a race, that's the presidential race. Chariots of asses, that's the donkeys. Chariots of camels, that really represents the elephants, which are the two symbols they use in this country. Take diligent heed for because after that election, it's really pointing to the one we just had. Behold, comes a chariot of men and a couple of horsemen. And he answered, soon as this man becomes president, your nation is going to begin to fall. Babylon is fallen. When this man becomes president, Trump, because he's going to be the one that causes the war in the Middle East. That's going to bring this country down. That event that's fixing to take place in the Middle East is going to bring our country down. Okay, and that's what he's telling you right here. These couple of horsemen, that run the race, that's the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Oh my goodness, they're going to cause the fall of this country. Because that war is going to cause it. So how do you know it's America? Here we go. All right, Joel 2:2. The day of darkness and gloominess is the day of clouds and darkness. At the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, that's us. There has never been ever the like. It's a nation nobody has ever seen anything like it before. We are that nation that nobody has ever seen anything like us before. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. We are that nation. It's telling you that's the place that turns dark and gloomy. And when does it die? In the summer. We just saw that. Now, Trump in scripture. We're going to talk about this. Hosea 10 verse 15, for so shall Bethel do unto you because of the great wickedness. Bethel is the house of the Lord. That's what it means. It means the house of God. Great wickedness in the morning, which is the springtime, the king of Israel will be utterly cut off. So does he die? I mean, this possibility. Awake, O shepherd, against my awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. My fellow, it goes back to Isaiah 45 that talks about how, which king was it that is in Isaiah 45? Cyrus. Cyrus was called his anointed one. Remember that? He's called the anointed one. I think this is referring to the same thing. And smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter and will turn at the hands to my little ones. Where are the little ones? So he says, as soon as I smite the shepherd, which is, I think, Donald Trump, the sheep are going to scatter and run out of the country because I think this is going to happen at wartime. And I will turn my hands to my little ones. That's us. So once he's taken the people out of the land, then now it's the holy seed is in there. The holy seed is in the land. Nobody else, it's cleaned up. So now he can rebuild. Do y'all see that he can rebuild now? Because he's going to turn to his little ones. That's us. Going on. And the eventide trouble, and behold, in the morning, he is not. That doesn't sound real good for Trump. For this is the portion of him that spoils us. And the lot of them that rob us. So he's telling you right here, he says, in the evening tide, trouble. So there's trouble coming in the fall. That's at a fall season, the trouble comes. And, interesting because Trump says, I'm got 60 days and then I can do whatever I want. That'll hit right around September. That's the evening tide. That's maybe when that war takes place. If the timing is correct, if the timing is not correct, then these prophecies won't work. Now, going on in Hosea 10, verse 3, now they shall say, we have no king because we have feared not the Lord. What then shall the king do for us now? We've gone into captivity. What can the king do for us? So, verse 7, as for Samaria, her king is cut off like foam in the water. So, cut off, does that mean he dies? Or does that mean he's taken in captivity? I don't know the answer to that. He is not, he is no longer the, he's no longer their king because it says we have no king. Y'all see that? So he's taken down. Here we go. Isaiah 22, the man who gets the keys from the king house of David, that's laid upon his shoulder. It's open and none can shut it. You couldn't have stopped Trump. He was putting executive orders out there every day. Verse 23, and I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he will be on the glorious throne of his father's house. That's America. We are the glorious house. Going on 25, shall the nail that was fastened in a sure place be removed and cut down and fail? And the answer is yes, it will be. And that's what it's telling you, that it's going to be. There's three or four places saying he's being taken down. Now, this thing is just moving on its own here. Ezekiel chapter 17, verse 16, whose oath he despised, that is Trump, did not put his hand on the Bible when they did the inauguration. Go in verse 17, neither shall Pharaoh, which is Israel, the mighty army, the great company, make for him in a war by seizing his mounds and building and cutting off many people. He said, don't look to Israel to help you because they're not going to. Verse 18, seeing he despised the oath of the breaking of my covenant, when lo, he has given his hand and has done all of these things, he shall not escape. Therefore, said the Lord, I will, as I live, surely my oath that you have despised in my covenant, he has no interest in God. He has no interest in following anything in scripture, which you have broken, even it will recompense upon your head. This is also true about the Constitution. They don't have very much use for the Constitution, which comes right out of the Bible, right? I will spread a net over him, and he will be taken out as a snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and I will plead with him, Babylon, this being the new Babylon that's going to be set up, right? Because that new system is going to also be called Babylon. I will plead with him there for many trespasses that he has trespassed against me. So it's not looking good for Trump that he's going to be taken down. We're not going to have a king going on. And this is where he tells you, I'm not going to make a full end of Israel. I'm not going to destroy the whole land. But he said, this is what he's going to do. I am with thee, said the Lord, to save you. Though, see, that's the important thing. Even through all of this, you need to know what's going to happen, but he's going to save you. Though I have not, I will make a full end of all the nations which I have scattered thee. So everybody that takes you in as a refuge, you take in these people as captives, and you use them as slaves. He said, all of those nations I will make a full end of. He's going to destroy every nation that has taken his people captive. Do y'all understand? This is his vengeance, and he's coming back for his people. And I will correct you in measure, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. He's talking to us there. And so, verse 16, same chapter. Therefore, all you that devour thee shall be devoured. So the people that come over here for the war, they've signed their death warrant when they come in this land because this is his land. They've signed their death warrant. And so what he's going to do is he's going to intervene for his people because they repent. And for thy adversities, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they shall spoil thee, shall be spoiled, and all the prey thee shall become the prey. So they are going to go, once this kingdom is set up, they're going to go under the authority of this kingdom. The kingdom is going to be set up in the Christian nations. That's where it's going to be set up. I don't have time to cover that. But I think this is the last verse I wanted to cover right here. What's the most important thing is to know that he says, I will save you. He's going to save you. If you're taken into captivity, he promises to save you. So this is a promise for us, but he's also going to do revenge on all the people that come against us. And so it's going to be a massive thing. When it's all said and done, there's not going to be a lot of people left alive. But you stop and think about one third die by the war, one third die by pestilence and famine. Those two together is two thirds. Two thirds of this country is going to be destroyed. And so my question is, why aren't the preachers preaching this? Why here we at the generation, it was so important to the father that it was the last thing he told you before he died. He's talking about the last 3 years, those last 3 years, or the years of the tribulation when Israel has fallen and it's the time of darkness. And he was showing it to you on the cross, the very last thing he wanted to show you before his death and, of course, his resurrection, right? And that was 3 day period. So this 3 day period is this 42 months for this man that's of sin, right? 6 months are used up by the war, at least, maybe longer. That's considered a year to the father, because when you start in the spring and you go to the fall, he says Sukkot is the end of the year. So to him, that's the end of the year. So it's a whole year in his eyes. In our eyes, it's 6 months. So do y'all see that? And we're doing the work of Elijah during this time. So we are the people that are going to turn. Now, no, look at here. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. You see, they're not saying that about the mother. They're not saying that about the mother. Because it's the father right now that's not being respected. So the father is now going to take his prime role, and he's going to turn the children back to be taught by both the father and the mother, really. But the father is going to rule the household for the first time, because we know that that's not going on now, that the whole family unit is tore apart and the woman is running the household. And so that's what this means. Jeremiah says, Isaiah 3, verse 11, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and the women rule over them. That's what's going on in every household. That's what's going on. But we're going to be the ones that's going to reset this. We're going to set this back to what it's supposed to be going on. And how long you go about that backsliding daughter, for the Lord has, it's funny that he's calling it a daughter too, for the Lord has created a new thing in the Lord, a woman shall encompass a man. That's what it's referring to. She's ruling the roost now in all the homes. That's going to be turned around. That's going to be put back in the correct order. And the family units are going to be rebuilt, and we're the ones that are going to rebuild it, because that's a critical piece right there. You got to put the father back as the head of the household. You got to put him back as the head of the household, because he represents the Messiah, and he's representing the Messiah on the earth. So with this, I'm going to stop right here. This was awfully long. I know some of you may have questions or comments. You're always welcome to ask me questions when we're doing this, but most of y'all don't usually like to do that.